Why persevere in prayer? Please take your Bibles or look up and read with me on the screen. Jeremiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 7. Jeremiah 42, 1 through 7. Then all the commanders of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, and the son of Hoshai, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, "Let our plea for mercy come before you, and pray to the Lord your God for us, for all this remnant, because we are left with but a few, as you see, or your eyes see us, that the Lord your God may show us the way we should go and the thing that we should do." Jeremiah the prophet said to them, "I have heard you. Behold, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your request, and whatever the Lord answers you, I will tell you. I will keep nothing back from you." Then they said to Jeremiah, "May the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act according to all the word with which the Lord your God sends you to us, whether it is good or bad. We will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we are sending you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." At the end of 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. There's a good lesson here, is there not? About being careful in obeying God's word and trusting in his strength. Without question, it is a great lesson. But the verse I want to highlight is verse 7. 10 days later, from the time that Jeremiah approached Jehovah our God, 10 days later, the Lord gave his reply to Jeremiah. Now, isn't it remarkable, ladies and gentlemen, that despite Jeremiah being a devoted and seasoned prophet, and although God already knew the answer, he still, Jeremiah, had to wait a full 10 days to receive God's prophetic message. God could have said, that same day, he could have revealed the message to Jeremiah, but he chose to make Jeremiah persevere in prayer. Now, just like Jeremiah, we often find ourselves repeatedly seeking answers from God, hoping for certain outcomes. We seek over and over and over. And yet he calls us to persist in prayer, to be patient, to persevere. He encourages us to keep praying. And without question, Scripture teaches that answers will come. But I believe that there are several good reasons why the Lord does this. And I want you to consider those with me this morning. Waiting is good discipline. When our prayers are not answered right away, you know, this society is a right away society. We got to have everything right now. Where's your phones? We got to have the answer right now. AI, I think is what they call it, AI. New acronyms. What I got is EYE, my eye. And that's how I read. That's how I study. But that's another sermon. Daniel will preach you that one. When our prayers are not answered right away, let me get us back on track, it means we have to wait, and waiting upon the Lord actually is, listen to it, good spiritual exercise. Now, in Isaiah chapter 40, which you just got finished hearing so eloquently presented by Michael, and I don't think I'm going to read it again, but I think that the last part of this passage speaks to each one of us. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The person in this verse thinks that God does not hear. He doesn't hear his prayers. He's unaware of his problems. And I'll tell you something, the fella is standing there or sitting there and he's contemplating, God is tired of listening to me and I'm tired of waiting. And he grows impatient. He thinks God does not hear and he thinks God is unaware. That's Jehovah our God. Isaiah explains what the discipline of waiting upon the Lord would do for him. Waiting helps a person grow strong. It helps a person overcome adversities. I know that may be difficult for you to believe, but it's the truth. Isaiah reminds that this tired and impatient person that God is not like him. He's not like us, ladies and gentlemen. He does not get impatient. He is not regulated by time. He's not impatient when things don't happen right now. And as followers of Christ, we are able to achieve a spiritual balance. I want you to remember that, okay? A spiritual balance. We achieve spiritual balance and a peaceful, trusting attitude. Not through physical exercise, but by waiting on the Lord. This spiritual balance, this waiting on the Lord, I believe Scripture teaches us that it increases and provides contentment. It helps us to be patient. Now, I want you to remember that the time spent on waiting upon the Lord is never, ever wasted. Now, not only is waiting a good discipline, the fact is we may not be ready to understand God's will yet. You know, I had my own formula for success and what I would call a fast-acting prayer. Okay, it's something to get the job done, right? I figured I need to believe God can do it. Okay, I'll pray believing. And I'm going to ask clearly and specifically. There's not going to be any question for God. He's going to know what it is that I want, what it is that I need. I'm going to ask in Jesus' name. I'll put some authority behind that. And not only that, but I'm going to be ready to receive no as an answer. Because that's what I've been taught by preachers all my life. This was like a safe combination, if you will, right? I don't mean safe that it's protective. I mean safe like a safe. It's a combination, okay? If I get all the numbers right on this electronic door lock, if I get all the numbers right, it's going to be like buying something from a vending machine, okay? It's the way I see it. You make the right selection, you put the right change in, and bingo, you got candy or you got soda water or whatever it is that you're going after. You make that right selection. You have those numbers correctly. But maybe something I did not consider was whether God thought I was ready or whether or not God thought the time was right. You know, He is God. Abraham and Sarah, do you remember the story? Abraham and Sarah prayed for a child most of their married life, and their prayer was answered when she was 90 years old. Now, both she and Abraham, I believe, were not ready. God didn't believe they were ready. They weren't ready in matters of faith when they first began to ask. The fact that she had a child at 90 years old served God's purposes. Do you see it? It served God's purpose better than if she had had the youngin' at 19. You say, well, why is that, Steve? She could have given birth at 19, but that would not have created the glory that bearing a child at 90 would. Do you see it? Now let's go to Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle desired in his prayers, and it was his strategy. I'm going to tell you something. Paul, he was a good salesman. He was indeed. He desired in his prayers, and it was his strategy to go to Asia. I'm going to Asia. I'm going to go to Asia, and I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to Asia. God prevented it. He limited it. He refused his prayers and his plans, plain and simple. When we pray and say, God, I'm ready to accept your will, we need to understand something. It may be radically different than our own. It is important to persevere in prayer, because if we do, God will not simply answer the prayer. See, he will reveal his will to us. You know, the answer we want, we may not be ready to understand what God's will is yet. Perseverance in prayer reveals the quality of our faith. James chapter 2, verse 18, I will show you my faith by my works. You heard that passage before? I'll show you my faith by my works. Now, when we read this, we usually think of good works, right, Christians? We usually think of good works as those things done to help others in a holy and dedicated lifestyle, right? But I'm going to tell you something. This is what I've come to believe. Prayer is a work of faith. This is my attitude now. This is the way I think it should be. Believing that he hears me and he answers me, this is faith. Believing his will continually. And the fact that I will ask over and over and over again. This is faith. Believing that he will continue. This is faith. Believing that he will continue. Listen to it and waiting patiently for an answer. That is faith. We pray to God in Jesus' name, showing that we believe, I guess, right things in a right way. That we are determined to persevere in a way that shows that our belief is not only accurate, but our belief is strong. Real prayer is genuine. And it extends beyond superficial expression. But where does real prayer come from? It's authenticity. Where does it come from? What's really real about our prayers? They come from the heart. They come from the heart. It's more than just a surface level routine. I'm afraid I've gotten caught up in that. Surface level routine. It reflects a deep and enduring trust in God. That's what it has to reflect. There are times when God allows us to remain in prayer for an extended period of time. I don't know why. I don't know why all the time. Maybe because strengthening and refining our faith matters more than simply receiving an answer to our request. Maybe we need to grow. Maybe we're weak. We need to get stronger. We need to refine ourselves. A good example of this would be Paul's prayer to remove that thorn in the flesh that he had, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He was suffering with something. We don't know what it was. People have speculated what the thing was, but we never find out what the thorn was. We don't know. Until that moment, Paul says that God had not answered his prayer. Didn't answer it. Yet Paul's continual prayers, and he says it himself, strengthened his faith so much that he became willing to endure the thorn, whatever that was. He was willing to endure the thorn no matter how God chose to respond to him. Now, we may feel discouraged when our prayers aren't answered as we hoped they would be, or when it seems they go unanswered altogether. We need to remember an important reason for persistent prayer. It is more important that we remain faithful than to be a people who require and have decided that their prayers need to be answered as quickly as possible. Persevering in prayer may not always produce a satisfying answer, but it's always a sign of a sincere faith. Now, here's the conclusion I've come to. When Jesus returns, it won't matter what we're praying about if he finds us persisting in it. And so with that thought in mind, I said, well, what's practical perseverance in prayer? What is that? Prayer is like any other exercise, whether physical or spiritual. The more you pray, the better you get at it, I think. If you're going to persevere, I think there's a few pointers that we need to consider as it relates to how we maintain our prayer life. And this is number one. This is not about what you want. Now, see, that's the problem that I've had throughout my life is my attitudes and the way I'm built, I guess my character and all that. I really tell you something, I'd go to him in prayer because there were some things I wanted. It ain't about me, and it ain't about you. It's about him. We have got to learn this. The most precious benefit of constant prayer is fellowship with the Lord. I was sitting out on the swing while I was contemplating this sermon a day or two ago. You know, Muffy's not in town, and that's always a fun time for me. And I was sitting out on that swing, and I was trying to get this in my head and the illustrations and things that I wanted to pursue. And I'm sitting there on the swing, and I thought to myself, I'm going to pray. But you know what? This time, I'm not going to pray about what I want. I just want to get to know you better, God. I want to praise you. I want to glorify your name. I want to think about you. I want to know that you're here with me. I want to consider and contemplate the beauty of the canvas of your creation. This is what I want to do. I'm not going to ask you for one thing. And you know what? I prayed for 10 minutes. couldn't believe it. I had never prayed for 10 minutes my whole life. I run out of stuff to say. Get bored. If your focus is only on stuff that you want, then you're missing the whole point. I believe that with all my heart, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just learning about it. Jesus said that God knows what you want. Matthew chapter 6, verse, he knows. He's got that. He knows what you want and need before you ask it. The purpose of prayer is not to continually describe and request what you want. The purpose of prayer is to draw you closer to God, to know Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, to participate in communing with Him. Jesus says that if we seek His will first, if we seek His will first, He'll grant us everything that we need. The point of prayer is your time spent with Him. Your time thinking about Him, your time glorifying Him, your time bearing your heart to Him. The great benefit of persevering in prayer is that we develop this relationship with God that all of us up in here talk about how bad they want. But we don't have the right combination. It is not about what you finally get, whatever that is that you want. It's not about what you want, it's about Him. It's not replication. We must submit to Him. Many think that the thing to be accomplished in resolute prayer is to repeat every day what it is you want. You've got this list. And you just check it off like with a pencil. Shh, got that, shh, got that, shh, got that, shh, got that. And the next day it's shh, got that, shh, got that, shh, got that. It's over and over and over. Two times a day is good. Morning, noon, and night is better. I'm going to hit Him every time I get a chance. Jesus says, they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Ooh. Man, I'm going to tell you, that clubbed me in the head. When I read that, I thought, ooh. Oh, and that's not all. This passage addresses individuals who thought their prayers gained more effectiveness with their flowery, sophisticated words. Their adjectives and adverbs. I thought it was, you know, graduate from Lamar University, studied English, didn't do too well in there, but I did in communication. It's not about flowery, sophisticated words. The goal of prayer is to surrender. You surrender. Sure, there's going to be mountains and valleys, but prayer is not about just getting what you desire. In Luke chapter 11, verse 5, Jesus tells a parable of the person who wakes up his friend at midnight to borrow bread. You remember that story? The repeated knocks on the door in the middle of the night were a sign that he had surrendered. He had surrendered everything, all his reserve, all of his pride. He was willing to lower himself to the point of disturbing his friend at midnight. I just didn't get it. Because his need was so great. And there was relief that was found. I'm going to give you an illustration that touches me. When I was a little boy, I always loved horses. I didn't grow up in a place in Port Arthur, Texas, where you could very well have a horse. But I always loved them. And I was fortunate that in Nacogdoches, Texas, my uncles had dairy farms. And on their dairy farms, they had horses. And as a kid, I was able to ride them and pet them, and hold them, smell them. Just loved it. And one of the ways that I saw that these cowboys broke their horses was in something called a round pen. Y'all know what a round pen is? Well, it's a big old pen that's round. Okay. All right. And they'll put a horse in there who hadn't been broken yet. And they'll either have a stick with a flag or they'll have a rope. And that horse has nowhere to go but around, as that cowboy will go behind them, or they'll clap, or they'll their lasso. And the horse will go this way, and then they'll step over here in front, and the horse will go that way, and then they'll step up in front, and the horse will go this way, and it over and over and over and over again. And you know what the horse does? Here's the round pin. At first, what he does is he'll stare to the outside, and his behind will be towards the cowboy. Well, that's not what we want, is it? He's looking outside. He's wanting to go outside. He doesn't want to be in that pen. And so they do it again and again and again and again. And finally, the horse slows down. And one of his eyes looks over at the cowboy. And then a wonderful thing happens. After this horse has expended his energy, after the horse has given up and knows that what's on the outside ain't as good as what's on the inside, the cowboy will turn his back to the horse. And then something unbelievable happens. The horse turns in, and he comes and stands by the side of the cowboy. And the horse, I've even seen, put his chin on the cowboy's shoulder. Ladies and gentlemen, outside of the pen is the world. Inside the pen, the horse is you and me. God Almighty is the master. He's the teacher. He's the father. He loves us. And I'll tell you what, he throws that lasso or he flips that flag, and here we go. Round and round and round and round, and we stop and we look out at the world that's beyond the fence. And we say, that's where we want to be. We want to be out there. We don't want to be in here. Don't want to be constrained in any kind of way. We don't want to be told what it is we have to do. We don't want a rein around our neck. And we go and we go and we go around and around and around and around. And the master keeps on looking at us and flipping that flag or that lasso. And finally, after all that love, we turn in. We give up on the world and we focus on the truth. Relief is found in turning in to the Lord. It isn't found outside the pen. Relief is found in Him. There isn't a guaranteed number of times that you can repeat a request in prayer that you will ensure that you receive what it is you're asking for. Engaging in continual prayer should help us yield our lives and submit our wills to God, opening ourselves up completely to Him, turning in to Him. You open the portal of your heart, your mind, your emotion, your memory, your imagination for Him to fill it, to enter into you and fill you up with His love and His desire to see you become one of His children. Constant prayer is about surrendering ourselves a little bit by bit to God, who's going to provide the things we need. I understand you want to pray. You got this prayer list. But I get that. Okay, and don't stop praying on your prayer list. All right, keep on doing it. But listen to me. Surrender yourself to Him. Turn in to Him. We need to learn to be content, ladies and gentlemen. We're not content with too much, I'm going to tell you. We ask for stuff. We got to learn to be content. And if we are, if we surrender ourselves to God in prayer, it brings such profound blessings than simply just repeating a whole list of requests. Listen, that's more about you than it is about Him. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I've learned. I've come to learn it. Do you think He doesn't love you? Do you think you need to bombard Him all the time as though He doesn't listen? There will be mountains and valleys. This, I guarantee you, there will be mountains and valleys. Be ready for a mountaintop experience. If you pray to Him, if you surrender yourself, if you turn into Him, be ready for a mountaintop experience where the presence of the Lord is profound in your life. And that will mean more to you than anything. His word is so rich, it's so convicting. And where His will is for your life will become so clear and unmistakable. And I'm going to tell you what, it will have you winded and refreshed. Do it that way. The only thing stopping you from continuing in the moment is your own weak flesh. You can have that. It's more important than living on this earth. It's more important than whatever obstacle it is that you might have to face. And I'll tell you, the way I see it, the time for uninterrupted fellowship in a glorious setting will be when Jesus Christ returns. And if you've already died, you'll be with Him. We must persevere in prayer and look forward to the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Look forward to the Holy Spirit filling us with the insight and encouragement of the Lord. We've got to believe that. If you neglect regular prayer and pray only occasionally, you are hindering your spiritual development. If it's just about you and a list of stuff, you're hindering your spiritual development. You're missing out on the blessings that come from a consistent, devoted prayer life. There are perks that come from hard work and talent and drive and dedication. But these will not produce spiritual balance or understanding God's will or a strong faith. Only constant prayer can give you these things. And it's time that we renew our life, our prayer life, to God Almighty. Only constant prayer can give you these things. Relief is not found on the outside. Relief is found when you decide to turn in to God. Give up the running. Give up the desire to see everything and want everything outside of the pen. Give up. Give that up. and cast your eye upon the Lord, and turn your willful head towards Him, and walk towards Him, and put your chin on His shoulder. He will communicate with you that which is good and perfect and acceptable and wonderful and gratifying. And you will love Him as He loves you. You will commune with Him, and you will be built up in the most holy faith. There may be someone here in this audience this morning that's just tearing out around that round pin. Your eyes are focused on the world. Now you've decided that it's time to turn in. If your need and desire is to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have the provisions necessary for you to be able to do that. If indeed it is, Christians, that you have hopped over the fence and you're back in the world, bucking and kicking and snorting, but you realize that's not going to get you anywhere, it's time for you to hop back in the pen and turn in to God. If you're subject to that invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?